University out in Alpine is teaming up with the federal agency in Mexico that oversees the country's historic sites. Joining us now is a key figure in that partnership. His name is Andy Cloud. He's the director of the Center for Big Bend Studies at Sul Rosa. Andy, welcome to Texas Standard.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here, David.
It's wonderful to get a chance to talk with you, meet you here in the studios at Marfa Public Radio. You work just down the road here, about 20 miles or
yeah,
so.
Yeah, it's about 26 miles away.
Yeah. You know, I think the first impression that a lot of people get about this area is its openness. I mean, even emptiness, really. I mean, when you come out to some of these parts. And I wonder how that shaped the lives of people who chose to be here. I mean, how did the Big Bend region come to be so archaeologically rich when it does seem so empty?
Well, there's actually a lot of resources out here, David. In particular, the stone resources, because of the incredible geology out here, we have a lot of different stones that could be used and made into stone tools. Have a certain nappability, much greater variety than you get, say, in Central Texas.
Really? That's surprising to me, because this seems like you would think it would be rather inhospitable territory.
Well, in some cases, I think it is, you know, in the heart of the summer when the temperatures rise, but prehistoric man knew how to get out of the sun. That's why most of many of the sites are in shade places. Rock shelters or boulder shelters where you could get out of the sun a little bit.
You know, but I would think when most people think about the peoples who have occupied this land in the past, you know, you hear the Comanche and the Kiowa come up, right?
Right.
I know that the Coltucan, for example, you don't hear them come up in some of this mythology either.
No, the Coltucans were really more focused down in South Texas, but all of those names come to us from the Spanish. When the Spanish first came in, they asked the Indians what they called themselves and things like that. So all those names. Before that time, thousands of years, up to 13,000 years ago, we had Native Americans traversing across the land in small
groups. This region right here?
Absolutely.
13,000 years ago.
That's right. We have sites. We're working on a site now that goes back 11,000 years, and we have technologies that they are demonstrating there that become ubiquitous across the whole continent.
Technologies? What do you mean?
Actually, cooking with rock is the foremost technology that we've uncovered at that particular site 11,000 years ago. That is a way to gain sustenance from the desert where you couldn't do it otherwise. There are certain plants, the agave, the sotal, the yucca, that have they store their plant sustenance, their carbohydrates down in tubers under the ground, and those are such complex sugars that you can't extract that unless you cook it a certain way, and you have to cook it slow and over a time period and on a lower heat than you can do with an open flame. So learning to heat the rock and cook with rock is one way that they accomplish that.
So you're saying that 11,000 years ago, people were developing these systems for dealing with the landscape as they...
That's exactly right. And it opened up the carrying abilities of the desert where it could hold a lot more higher population.
Let's get to this agreement with the agency in Mexico, which is responsible for overseeing historic sites. What does that open up for you?
Well, that opens up a wider gamut of what we're trying to study. We're trying to study the cultures that lived along the rivers, and really it doesn't stop at the edge of the river. The river was a resource through all these times, all these thousands of years. It was a resource.
But as a researcher, you're sort of artificially blocked from kind
We're artificially blocked at the river, and we have been for years. We've wanted to work with our Mexican colleagues. And really, this is through this agreement, it's opening up the doors to us work side by side and share data with one another and really get a better holistic understanding of what we're all trying to study. We have the same goals as they do. And really, it's the culture along the river is what we're studying, most modern as well as going back in time.
A certain irony here, I guess, when you're away from this place, you hear about walls going up. When you get here, you hear about new bridges sort of being built.
Absolutely, and we've used that metaphor in regard to this particular project, but it's something we really worked on for years and years, and it's just the timing of it is what it is.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Andy Cloud's the director of the Center for Big Bend Studies at Sewell Ross State University, just closing an important, long-awaited agreement with the government of Mexico. Thanks so much for speaking with us on Standard.
You're welcome. Pleasure to be here, David.